What's good, everyone? It is Samir, and you're here on Be Fino Podcast. We've got some more testimony to share with you all, so stay locked in, get comfortable, here on Be Fino Podcast.
Hey, well, welcome everyone to Be Fino Podcast, and this week we're Red Cut. What's good, man?
What's good, Samir? How are we?
So good, so blessed. Man, it's good to be back on the podcast and have you back in counting episode 71. So it's a special continuation for 2023. But man, to kick things off, how's everything going with you, my bro?
It's flat out. I've got gigs left, right and center to attend and play and support and all that. Then I got my Speedway stuff to do, and that's every weekend until about the middle, even the end of March, and work's hectic as, I'm just flat out.
Wow. Oh man, good on you, bro. That's a good place to be in. And that kind of for people listening in, you're involved in a few things, not just music, but we'll kick off with the music side, my bro. And what was sort of the earliest memories for you growing up with music? How did you first get into it, my bro?
Well, I mean, I didn't really know what music sort of was. It was just what my mum played on the radio when she was driving me around. And then good old Facebook, I think it was 2013, 14, started watching the videos. And I was like, oh, these songs are cool. And then suddenly Martin Garrix played Animals came on. And I was like, okay, this is cool. What's this? And that's when I discovered what music actually was. And you can go and look for it and search and all the different artists and all that, and then from there it just went down the rabbit hole, really.
Nice, bro. Martin Garrix, Animals, that was such a pivotal track. Just thinking about how much energy it had and how much it took the world.
Exactly.
I think it's so cool what he did with being able to have so much energy for his age, because he was so young.
I think it was 15
at max. Yeah.
15 or something.
No older than 15. Yeah.
And he released Animals off a cracked version of FL.
That's right.
Worldwide.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so cool. I remember that video showing I made it, and that was a huge thing for not just producers, but even just DJs, because it's like, you just get so fascinated by how something like that is made. And it's so cool, bro. But moving along with all of that, you discover electronic music and the sort of beats that have just captured you. What were the sort of next things that happened? Were you wanting to learn more about DJing or just learn more about the music? How did it go from there, my bro?
It really just started with just the love of music. I was like, fire, this is pretty cool. Gives me lots of energy. I'm loving it. Not many people my age at the time were liking it. They thought I was weird or what's that sort of bad music and all that. And I just kept loving it because I didn't care what other people thought. And just kept into it. And then I think it was about 2016, I started to like a bit of the weirder stuff. And I can't remember how I actually got into DJing, but I remember my first little DJing thing that I was doing was Virtual DJ 8 on the old laptop. And I'd spend like New Year's just like in my room on my laptop, just mixing songs very, very badly and thinking I was cool as.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh man, my first controller was a Mixtrack Pro, and Virtual DJ as well as the Serato DJ LE, the light version at the time. It was just absolute, off the cuff. Like half the time the beat matching is on, half the time it's off.
It was like, oh, these songs go together and they're two different BPMs.
Yeah, completely whack keys.
Yeah, this is cool. And you try to play the same track on four different channels at different points.
Yeah, multiple vocals.
Exactly.
Man, that's cool, bro. Virtual DJs being talked about a little bit on the podcast and how accessible that thing is to help people getting
so
into
good.
It's so good. You know, I still use it here and there to this day. It's just like, it has its time and place. Eh?
Exactly. I mean, if you want to muck around a little bit, just play a bit of Virtual DJ.
Yeah, bro. Oh, man, those effects. All of that. Good memories, bro.
Great memories.
Kind of moving along to when you kind of, got your decks and all that. Was there like a first controller you had or a first sort of set of gigs?
Yeah, I had oh, it's gonna get me fired. I can't remember. I think it was a DDJ RB, and I bought it. I think it was retailed at 600, and I went to the rock shop. I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking for like a few months. I was like, oh, I'll go get one. Went to the rock shop at Sylvia Park, and I only had one left. And the bro goes, oh damn, the box is a bit damaged. He gave it for 400. I was like, oh yes. Cheers. So I got a 600, I think it was 650 long control for like $410.
Brand new. Yeah.
Got a brand new one, and that lasted me for a couple of years. And I was thinking, oh, this isn't going too well. I want to get bigger and better things, because I'd rented a couple of CDJs and mixes from DJ 4U.
Yeah.
And then I went back to my little controller.
Wow.
There was a big difference. And then I remember I was thinking, oh, what do I upgrade to? And I didn't know what I was going to be getting or getting myself into, what prices and all that were. Yeah. But I remember I met good old Teller at a gig one time, because it's a funny story of how I met him. So I was at a gig in Peekaboo, I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
And he was at AV Club, and he was opening for him, and I was a bit happy, you could say, a bit merry, a bit jolly.
Yeah, bro.
I've had lots of adult hydration.
Yes, lots of fun. yep.
And I remember going home and then waking up the next day. I was putting my pants in the wash, and I pulled out a USB, and it was his.
Wow.
I somehow ended up with his USB, so I messaged him, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's good, sweet, thank you, just don't do anything, I'll come pick it up. So he came pick it up, and he invited me over to do a mixing session with him, and he had a, hang on, where is it, XDJR X2 at his place. So I was like, oh, yeah, sweet, I had no idea how to use it. Started playing with him, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then few months later, I went back over and had another mixed section session. And I was like, okay, I actually want one of these. So I was waiting and scouring through Facebook, and I think it was 2020 that I picked up one off Tyler Hall. I got his old one for a decent price, and I've had that ever since. And I think that was let me just check. It was October 15th, 2020 is the day as I got my RX2s. And where's my DDJ RB? I got that in 2017, start of January. So I had that for 3 years, and now I've had this thing for coming up 3 years in October.
Oh, that's solid. And it's amazing how much you sort of gravitate towards Pioneer gear. Like when I started I started Newmark, and then it wasn't until I sort of made a baby step. So I started on this thing for my old mix track, and it was called a Mixtec Quad. So these are like the old CD USB versions of all-in-one from Newmark. And because it was all-in-one, there was like certain occasions where it would be, time and place, you could just whack a USB. But then, you know, we still used it as a controller. And then, it wasn't until I had come across an SX2 and I realized, wow, like all those little bits of extra space, really, all that like layout actually makes a real difference.
Space, layout, you know. I mean, all you really need to DJ is a couple of channels, a crossfader, and two platters. Everything else is just extra.
If
you want to get real creative, you know, you hot cue mashing and effects and looping. And I mean, I couldn't really do that much with my old controller, but this controller helps me practice a hell of a lot.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. That's so cool. Very well. Man, those controllers, it's, if I'm not mistaken, the one they had at the basement studio place on K-Rib. Yeah, that was real fun. And just
RX3s,
RX3. So, man, coming off controllers and stuff and getting into some of your first gigs, was there a way that you sort of managed to crack your first one coming from bedroom DJ,
Margaret? Well, I mean, my first gig was at the start, or well, not the start, I think it was August? It was a basement gig.
Yeah.
And it was it was the start of February.
Yeah,
I got my first gig. Yeah, the sadly it was the basement and part of shutdown goodbye party.
Wow, what an occasion, no way.
Yeah, I mean, so from being in my bedroom for 5 years.
Yeah.
Just attending after attending event after event after event and getting to know people. I ended up getting, yeah, the first gig with old Basement, good old Katana.
Oh, man.
And it was I think Cammy, good old Stank Wayne, he was telling me that, oh, yeah, no, it's, so Rui's going to be throwing this party for Basement in a parlor. I was like, oh, yo. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing. I was like, oh, sweet. Oh, well, you didn't ask me to play. So I asked him about it, and he goes, well, you'll jump on. I goes, oh, yeah. Exactly. I was like, sweet. He was like, sweet, you're on the lineup. And there was there was myself, Cammy, Stank Wayne, and Micah, and then Unusta, Mies, Waja, Katana, and Korda. It was a big lineup.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, man, that was a great lineup. And what I loved about that, was it was quite a big event, and to have that as the last sort of Impala, and I think it was just such a great way you would have been able to really feel at home in terms of people that are really there for the music you'd want to play and love.
Exactly.
Such a cool thing, bro. Like, that's really cool. Was there sort of artists or styles that you're really getting into at that time when you were getting into your first gigs?
Into gigs, I was sort of liking a lot of different music. I mean, as we all know, drum and bass took over New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too much of a fan of that. So if there was anything heavy and bassy, I'd play that. So it was very heavy trap, light trap, old school trap, very heavy dubstep, a bit of rhythm here and there, house, bass house, and it was countless DJ and competitions entered, and countless DJ competitions not even getting a recognition because they didn't like my non-drummer bass mix.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember a few of those ones during lockdown because there was so much.
It was 200-300 drummer bass tracks, and probably maybe 10 to 15 out of those were non. And no one really got much recognition.
Oh man, yeah.
But yeah, the style is all depending on the music. I have different styles for different sorts of music, like dubstep. But the heavy stuff, I sort of mix it quickly. But if it's like vibey, like spin a house and a bit of old school trap, you'll see me like chucking up the fader, cross fading. I want to learn to scratch, so I don't scratch yet because I'm not very good at it.
There's effects,
there's the Q smash, and I try different things when it's vibey. But
exactly, bro. I've the gigs that I've and the mixes I've heard, it's just like, bro, you've really pulled off some really good mixes in terms of like not just the selection of music, but definitely the way you've been able to mix it, and it's just cool because like you said, it's about being able to have that different sort of mix of energies,
exactly,
and then definitely that's the journey I feel that it's really nice to be taken on. But like carrying on with that sort of philosophy, what you love of music, were there any sort of standout inspirations, like apart from Kits, like when you were first getting in, like Mountain Geeks, like moving along, were there other ones that have really stood out in particular?
For the start of it, I went Martin Garrix, and then I really got into Alice in Wonderland. Loved her stuff. And then it was just a big array of artists. And then my first ever gig was Loud Pack at Neck of the Woods on my birthday. I've been loving Flume for a very long time. And then my first ever time at Impala was GTA when Red Rum brought them over for Labor Weekend.
Yeah.
And that was a very wet show. It was very high energy and bouncy. And then December rolls around and Alice in Wonderland brings a Scarehouse project over.
Right.
I'm like, oh, sweet, Alison's coming. Oh, yeah, Party Favor's on there. So it was only Saatchi, Party Favor, and Alice in Wonderland I'd heard of.
Wow.
And, so I was there and I was having a good time, and then suddenly good old Quicks jumps up. Never heard of him before.
Whoa.
And he absolutely smashed and I instantly fell in love, and he's now one of my biggest mixing inspirations and trap inspirations. It's why he's on my finger as well. I would show you because I got his lightning bolt on my left pointing finger.
Yeah, man, that's insane.
So he was probably one of my biggest inspirations of DJing.
Yeah, man. So much yeah, so much like people just know how much Quix is just influential. It's so cool you got the fingering. That's what it's all about, is like there are people that are really like pivotal in pushing us all in New Zealand to get into music. And I remember when Quix released his remix to Toy Boy After Hours, which was his first. I still played it gigs this day because of the whole like energy of the drums and the little there's something about it that like I think just took everyone. I remember when it dropped there, and that was just really the beginning of Quix doing tours and stuff. But
that was on Dim Mac, wasn't it?
Because I remember it didn't take long from when he posted it to then wanting to use it and like have it officially. So man, he sort of had a lot of energy, because I remember he was doing collabs with people on the side and stuff. And man, the time might come to have him on the show, but man, for now, like, there's just a lot of people that have shared on the podcast how much he's like really been.
He's the nicest guy. So he's probably one of the most wholesome, down to earth, nicest guys, and he is some of the filthiest tunes out there.
Exactly, man. Comes some mean ground on music and the story, the journey, but were there sort of any like highlights for you in terms of gigs that you've been to festivals? Because I know you've done quite a few gigs in terms of going along and both playing and attending, I guess some of the big ones, like I know you might be able to share, you've been overseas even, like sort of share some of the places, the people you've met that have really stood out as highlights of the
I've played a few gigs, a lot of them Cassette Nine, good old Fallout. So they're always good. It's just a muck around session with your mates, really. You can invite them all up. I've done a few live streams for Shackled.
Nice.
I remember it was when I came back, I was saying hello to Katana at the SubXL after party, and he just asked me to jump on with him. So I went back to back Katana. That's a highlight, going back to back with an absolute legend of that status.
Yeah.
It was sold out crowd at what's now Mothership, used to be Impala.
Yes.
My first ever international support was Bad Clap, Cassette Nine.
Wow.
I've just finished playing Plain Sailing at the Silent Disco. That was a lot of fun. Oh, it was very hot there.
Yeah.
And you got Ray Volpe coming up in February, so that's another big international thing. But the way I found out that he was coming back to New Zealand was I asked him when I was at Lost Lands, which was one of the best festival experiences I've ever had. Everyone was so genuinely nice. The music was good. The sounds were good. Everything was just top tier, way better than any New Zealand festival.
Yeah, well, that's amazing because of looking it up. Yeah, how it started, Excision, and that's right there, like a whole lineage of bass, bro. Like that's so cool, bro. And I remember seeing, the reason I recalled it on the call is just because I remember when we were down at the bass studio, and one time I was just seeing videos there, and I was just like, wow, so much happening, but like full experience. Hey?
it was so good. I think it was about day two.
Yeah.
Of the actual fest, and I thought to myself, I'm gonna come back next year. And then I finished the festival. I was like, I don't know. But then my arm's fairly rubbery, and my mate Amy was just like, you gonna come next year? I was like, okay, yeah, I'll come. So I'm now saving, and tickets go on sale next week, and I will be buying some.
Wow. Some things you just do for the music, eh? You don't
exactly. Nah, you don't even think, oh, it's got a price tag on it. I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to bring as many people from New Zealand. I know I'm going back with Arlen, good old Grommy.
Wow,
she's going back, and she's going to bring her mum.
Oh,
epic. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Good old audio junkie. And I've tried to talk Shannon E in coming. I'll be keen to come. So,
The New Zealand squad, amen.
So there's going to be, and I've met so many new people over there as well. There's a couple people I've met, a few Kiwis, a few Australians. Ooh. I mean, I was at what you call Easy Camping, and we set our tent. We picked our tent, and we buggered off to the stage for about 30, 40 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I need some water. So I came back. And what was next to us but a tent with an Australian flag on it? And of all, probably about 200 different tents. They had to pick the one right next to New Zealanders.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've made friends ever since.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool, bro. And it's those little things, eh, that just really make you be able to look back and be like, wow, that's music, the power of music, you know. It's so cool, bro. Well, man, we've covered, I think, a great ground for people listening in on where sort of music takes you, how one thing really leads to another, and there's so much that music kind of provides that a lot of things else just can't, because exactly. Obviously it brings people together like nothing else. But to hear that, you know, it kind of can bring you out of your comfort zone in terms of going overseas, because whereabouts in America's Los Angeles again?
It's in Ohio, so it's sort of Midwest. It's about a six, seven, maybe eight hour drive from New York.
Yeah.
It's up near the top. I think it's near Lake Erie.
Right, so is that how you got through, you go through in New York, or what was your way to travel? Like, was your stopover?
So it was a direct flight to Houston, which was about 14 and a half hours. I only remember 5 of them because I was asleep for the rest.
Yeah.
And then we had, from getting off our flight, we thought it would be impossible, but we had about 50 minutes to get on our next plane.
Yeah.
So we had to go through customs, and then we had to run to the domestic terminal, go through the domestic customs, and then find our plane and jump on. We got there with about 10 minutes to spare.
Wow.
And lucky our bags got on and all that. But
wow.
Yeah, I've heard of many other festivals I'd like to attend, you know, like EDC.
Oh, yes.
I might go to EDC Las Vegas, who knows?
Wow. Yeah.
Ultra Miami, a lot of American ones and a few English and European ones look absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
but
music
just does that to people. Yep. It just brings out, sometimes it brings out the best, sometimes it just brings out the absolute dickheads. We just ignore those people.
Oh,
we just ignore
sure.
that vibe. We're like, nah, this is not the vibe we want.
And then no,
we just
exactly.
chill it, out. And
yep, the big smorgasbord of people and things. It just, it brings people together, like you said.
All
but,
the most interesting characters.
exactly. Man, that's so cool to hear. And I just... Yeah, wish that you have nothing but amazing adventures with plenty more gigs you could attend. And for everyone listening as well, I know there's a lot of people that sort of like have these goals and dreams. And I guess our message really is you can do it. Just keep saving, keep, fulfilling your passion. And I think we've heard just how much it's worth it in the end, because life is too short to have, to not experience these awesome
exactly.
Places and people we meet and the music. So, man, covering off this journey, give us a bit of a yarn about plans for the year, things that you're wanting to maybe do, like if you do have any goals, like other places or people you'd like to meet or play at. Yeah, just any like particular goals, or even just ones just in general, my bro.
I've got different things. So for work, I'd like a pay rise, and that's a goal to get a bloody
nice
good year, good,
yeah.
good pay. What else? Obviously, save for a house. That's another goal. And then
nice,
you
bro.
Music is sort of just have a gig a month. But that's all down to promoters.
Yep.
I just get out there and nice. Get better and get known.
Yep.
There's always, you've always got to think, I want to play a festival. There's a few festivals, however, will I be selected? Unknown. As you know, music type is a big thing, and popularity, a lot goes into it.
But yeah,
if you just go down, attend and just stay straight, you'll be good.
Yeah,
and said gig a month and year and what else? Lost Lands, save enough up for Lost Lands, have a good another good trip, and then maybe go east towards New York. Never been to New York.
Yeah.
Racing, just do well in New Zealand title.
Yeah.
That's about it really is.
Yeah.
Too much, don't break much. And
yeah, and then just, I guess, long-term travel as many places overseas as you can on the side too, right?
Yeah, before I have a mortgage, because that's not going to be fun when you're paying $800,000 a week just for mortgaging. It's going to suck. But
yeah, no, that's cool that you got you got like nice big goals and like you keep them all as things you chip away at, which is really a key thing for people. And you know, we all can forget that there's, you know, time could be the greatest healer. So just to keep going and knowing that the days can come together and turn into some great things. So man, I wish you nothing but the best of all your goals and things. And yeah, just whether it be for people listening in as well, that doing their work on the side and music, they just know that you know, we can look to each other here in New Zealand and find that same inspiration, you know, that same playing field of supporting each other and finding a way we can all win, which is so cool, bro. But yeah, I guess to kind of wrap things up, is there any sort of other things to share? And it could be even just general things in life, or maybe some plugs or any. Yeah, the floor's pretty much up for you to just share whatever you feel you might want to share. But yeah, just really just a you don't have to share, but yeah, just anything really, just to finish things off, my bro, on tonight's podcast.
I mean, I just thought of another music goal, and that's produce a beat, because
I'm glad you said I was waiting for you to say that.
I've been meaning to make a beat, and I've had FL here for about 2 years, and I've done nothing with it. Because it's just every time I open it, it's just scary.
Daunting.
I'm thinking, what do I do? How do I do it? But I'm hopefully going to actually start making things to, you know, play at basement beat sessions, because that's a great, great, great place to do it.
Yeah.
What else is there? I mean, I got to say thank you to a lot of people as well, like Grubby, my mate Steven, Shannon, anyone really that comes to Cassette Knife for Fallouts, because we're all just bringing each other up. So like someone moves up, and then another, and then they just drag someone up with them, and that person drags another two people up, and everyone's climbing the social DJing ladder, and it's great, because everyone who played at Plain Sailing, Silent Disco, we're all mates, and we all have played at Fallouts, and it was just a great time. But if you just keep your head down, keep a goal in mind, and just stay straight. That's about it. I mean,
it's it.
Trying to get a gig for 2 years is pretty sad, but I was like, it'll happen eventually. It happened.
Yeah.
It's just out of the blue.
you've always got to be ready for those offers. Yeah, like you said.
Exactly. Then it's just, just really, just if you want to really get gigs, you go out and just make friends with, not like make friends with promoters, but you got to just make friends.
Exactly.
Just get yourself known, show you're supporting the cause.
Yeah, exactly. Just your passion will naturally come out when come out to check in with peeps. In fact, I'm looking forward to that next gig this weekend.
The Fallout.
That's gonna be
a good one.
Yeah, bro. Oh, I'm looking forward. But man, for everyone tuning in, whether you hear this after a bit of time or it's coming up, we just want to thank you so much for tuning in. And obviously you can check out the bro on all the socials. In fact, we'll have those down in the description, so we kick off 2023 strong with our podcast. Woo! But just wanted to say thank you so much, my man.
Thank you, Samir. You're the most positive human being that I know, and nothing ever gets you down, man. It's always great to see you.
Oh, likewise, my man. Well, right back at you with that one, bro. But for everyone tuning in, that was Beat Fino Podcast with Red Cut. Thank you so much for the love and support. Please definitely share this podcast if you enjoyed it with someone you know. And also check out our other podcasts. Feel free to hit us up. So all the socials and our email if you have any ideas or anything you'd like to share with us. And we look forward to continuing this journey here on Beat Fino Podcast. But until then, peace, love, and blessings, Fino.
Well, everyone, that was another awesome Beat Fino podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. But stay tuned for more podcasts to come. Feel free to share your thoughts. If you have any questions or artists you'd like to get on the next podcast, feel free to send us a buzz on socials or our email. And we'll catch you back for some more Beat Fino podcasts.